Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. And how many of you are waiting for my compendious summation? Well, you'll have to wait. Hopefully, we'll get to it this episode. There are still a few bits and pieces of marketing that we need to get through, and there's so many things to choose from. And my friends, it's not by design of the host that there are this many things. I will tell you, I'll give you a glimpse into the compendious summation. The things that are going on around the world, the overwhelming shock and awe of just how debased, how bad things are getting, and the ability to receive the information, again, it's overwhelming. How is it that we can ignore, let's call them red flags, because that seems to be a very popular term regarding gun laws. I'm here to tell you that what we are witnessing are just a flurry of flags to where it just seems like we're in a sea of red. What is it going to take to get you good patriots to actually start standing up and demanding compliance to the Constitution? I don't mean to lecture, and I don't mean to I don't want you to feel like I'm putting you down. And when I talk to people, sometimes I feel like the way they're reacting to me, it's like I'm descending upon them, scolding them like they're a child. And that's not the intent. The intent is to get people motivated enough to stand up with your fury and demand compliance and be resolved and committed to be willing to take whatever the evil is willing to dish out. I can go through history, biblical history, in showing you how every time we have stood up against evil, and even though evil seems like it has an overwhelming, undaunted force of, weaponry, manpower, and so forth, the few, the little David that stands up against Goliath and his army, literally, that's all it takes. That's all it takes is just somebody to stand up in faith, and God will do the rest of the work. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, that's what history has constantly proven us, that the good guy, the cowboy, the person with resolve and faith that stands up, don't worry. Don't worry about what they throw at you. It doesn't matter. I mean, at this point in time and at every point in time, we've never lived in a sinless society. And there have been some of us that have been caught in trappings. I was just explaining to a person that's in my employ that, I know I have an anger issue. We all have our emotions, and sometimes we have our little strings that people can pull, and I do have some. And when they get pulled, sometimes I can, anybody that's ever worked for me has probably seen that string get pulled, but they may not know what it was. I get better and better at suppressing those things because you don't want people to know what your strings are, right? You don't want people to know that if somebody mentions a hot button word to you, that all of a sudden you go off. Because all I've got to do is, if I know that, then I know how to set you off, and I can use that and exploit that. So you get better and better at controlling those, because bottom line, if you don't control your emotions will control you. But anyway, I was explaining to this person that, I know I have an anger issues, or I should say I have my weaknesses. I have my emotions and I have my passions. And that, you know, that's one of the hardest things we as species have to, you know, get over, to be able to, you know, become our own master. Those things being said, we all have our problems, and I don't think it's anybody's place to judge, regardless of what you may have done, as long as it's not murder or something, you know, really egregious. But the point is, you know, and as a matter of fact, not to marginalize murder or anything, but we've all made some pretty, you know, pretty bad mistakes, especially in our youth. I did some pretty bad things that, you know, if I was doing it today, I would not be listening to myself. But we grow up, we overcome, and we become the men and women, the adults that hopefully our parents have raised us to become. So anyway, the point of the matter is, you cannot allow those little faults, those little things, because I hear this too many times. I hear good people say, yeah, I kind of had a bad life. I did some bad things, and too many people know my, you know, some of the things I've done and so forth. And I go, so what? So what? Were they crimes of something that has no statute of limitations? If they were, then okay, I understand. But most people aren't in that boat. I would say the majority, if not almost everybody listening to this show, is not in that boat. You don't have anything to fear, and standing up and somebody exposing you because you engaged in this behavior or you did these types of things 10, 20, 30 years ago, who cares? Who cares? And I'm telling you that it is it is the left's tool to be completely intolerant regarding somebody that is a champion for liberty, a conservative. They want scorched earth treatment every time. It doesn't matter if it may have been as innocent as you just walked in the wrong room at the wrong time. And aha, guilt by association or what? That's their MO. They will do anything and everything and demand scorched earth, regardless of the crime, regardless of the sentence. So don't worry about that, because they're not the judges at this point in time. But when they do take over and they become the full judge, jury, and executioner, then you have something to worry about. And that's why we need to stand up. If you don't understand how intolerant they are, and what, as long as you're willing to do their bidding, regardless of what it is, then, you know, that's the row you're going to have to hoe. But bottom line, we have an opportunity. We still have that opportunity. 2020 is going to be a huge year. I had a great conversation last night with the plan and objective of being able to make 2020 a real year of standing up. And in the conversation with this legislator, I made the comment. I said, how great would it be if we could get one of these states, Wyoming, Kansas, Arkansas, South Dakota, Idaho, Utah, let's get one of these states to stand up and begin educating the rest of the states. That's all I am doing right now, is trying to educate state legislators and letting them understand they have all the authority and power to reel this monster in. What would happen? And so I just want to propose this to you, just for you to ruminate on, cogitate, think with intent. What would happen if a state actually stood up and told the federal government, told the other states they don't have this authority, and explained, and maybe Trump would hear this. Maybe during the 2020 election campaign, Trump all of a sudden gets the news that the states, we're in a constitutional republic that has been completely ran away by a complete disregard for the Constitution by the federal government, by all three branches. And maybe Trump in his last term might actually say, you know what? And become a champion in getting the states to rally in demanding republic review, auditing the Constitution, and putting the federal government back into its place, shutting down the elitism and draining the swamp once and for all. As I tell people all the time, go look at your party platform and you ask anybody in the party, is this really an issue if the federal government would be complying to the Constitution? Abortion. If the federal government was complying to the Constitution, that would be a state issue. And in your particular state, it may not even be an issue at all because your state may actually still be protecting life. Now, in liberal states, that's where people will be going to kill their babies. Okay, but let the states have the authority that our system has been designed to have. And so whether we like it or not, people still have to have their freedom, but the freedom is not from the centralized government. The centralized government's job is to protect our freedom and to protect the states to be able to be unique in how we govern each other. That's why we delegate more power to the state legislators than we've delegated to the general government. But I'm going to tell you that the majority of the stuff your state is doing is unconstitutional because a lot of the stuff they're doing has been mandated by the federal government. And they say, well, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Yeah, but they make this huge mistake. And that mistake is that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, not the federal government. And they equate the federal government as the Constitution. That is a real problem. But with that, we have two promos and we will be right back in getting through the rest of the beginning monologue. So we'll be right back after this, folks. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so with these runaway monologues, it'll be even harder for me to get to the compendious summation that I've been kind of promising you. But I will do everything I can to get through it today. If not, we will get into it in the next episode because we do have a lot of news to go through. Some of the news that I have to go through is, I mean, it's not even really newsworthy other than the fact that, okay, so apparently, and let me actually do that. Let me jump into this this one news article in a macro perspective, because if you understand, it was one thing to sell a license, right? In the software and computing world, when computers became, you know, the normal thing within our lives in the, late 70s, actually it was more than like the 80s with the Apple Avatar, or I should say the Commodore 64, there were the, you know, the IBM type of computers, but Apple and IBM were the two competitors. And so as computers began to grow, you know, they started off with just basic licenses. You got the license and you were guaranteed a life expectancy of that product. And over time, they were going to stop supporting that. And of course, anybody that runs Windows 7 today has been getting their warning notes from Microsoft saying, we are no longer going to support this as of January 2020. You must follow us into the Borg. My friends, I'm telling you right now, look into Linux. Now, with Linux, Linux came to the stage in the consumer market, and they came out with a completely different model. They practically gave away their operating system and, you know, making it a little bit cheaper. But here's the thing. It became a subscription. And what you have to do if you want to maintain your currency with patching and everything else is that you have to pay for the subscription. Well, Microsoft and some of these other companies go, oh, well, that's, why didn't we think of that? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because we would be making more money if we had subscribers, because the lifespan of Windows 7 based on the cost of subscription for Windows 7 would have been a lot more money for them than it would have been just selling the license. Well, maybe what they should do is increase the cost. Well, every time they increase the cost of their license, it gives Red Hat and other subscription Linux platforms the ability to actually just raise their prices a little bit too, to chip away. And people start realizing, well, so Microsoft has got its own image problems because of, you know, the notorious spying and so forth on their customers. And you'd think that that would be a terrible business decision. But some customers say, I don't care. I don't have nothing to hide. And they're idiots, because then next thing you know, they have they're getting a barrage of spam. They're getting a barrage of marketing and advertising because they had nothing to hide. And Microsoft is sharing that information along with every corporate agency out there today. And this one page is asserting that there's 18,000. I think it's even more than that. There are 18,000 apps and applications and operating systems and companies that are deliberately spying on you to share your information. As a matter of fact, that information is also in the hands of the party. The question is, how far, how deep are they already pulling all of this data on you and actually sharing that? My friends, the days of thinking that you can safely browse the web and safely do anything is over. So if you think you can increase your nefarious activities, or especially if you think you don't have anything to hide, you're sadly mistaken. They're trying to watch and monitor everything you do because you are a data point. And they can determine just how far along, you know, we the people are moving down these paths of debauchery and so forth. Well, anyway, what got me started on this is, guess who else is getting into the subscription world? Apple. Apple is now offering, just like Amazon is offering, a yearly subscription. They do you shipping and so forth. I'm surprised Amazon hasn't gotten more involved in the devices. They have Kindle and things like that. But the point is, where is the Amazon phone? Where is the Amazon, you know, TV box? I mean, they already have online Amazon Prime. So it's kind of like a TV box. And so Amazon is getting more and more down this path of getting the subscriptions because they're making hand over fist on the profits here. Apple has recognized that, and this is an indictment on these subscriptions, how much more money they make. They're getting better and better at squeezing more and more of your disposable income because they know Apple has some real loyal customers that are going to jump at becoming the first Apple Primes and being rewarded, as Apple likes to do, in, you know, rewarding their faithful fanatics. And you know what a fanatic is? It's a fan, right? I mean, we marginalize the word fan when we call somebody, oh, well, that's a Red Sox fan. Not, that word means fanatic, means that they go a little bit too far or beyond. But it seems like everybody's fan, so it's normalized. We have normalized fanaticism. That's another indictment on our society. Another thing that I probably won't mention in the news is that North Korea has fired two missiles. I mean, these things are all relevant. And why is it that they're all of a sudden in this position of breaking away from this accord that they've had with Trump for the past year or so? Well, there's a good reason. The 2020 election, they see an opportunity of helping the left in unseating Trump so that they don't have to play hardball anymore, that they can start getting advantages and more technology from America the way Clinton, Obama, and Bush was literally handling, you know, the information into China, which then got to them. So now they can play this rogue state, and they want to grow as a rogue state. Now, this is all calculations that are all against us. But I don't want you to forget that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. I hope you like the way I artistically put those things in there. But anyway, that's why this show is evidence-based, and that's why this show is based upon the truth of our Constitution and our Republic, and how far we have wandered away from this. We should have presidents dangling at the end of the rope for the treason that they have committed. But some people say, oh, well, it's a president's prerogative to give away national secrets. Show me that in the Constitution. It's not there. As a matter of fact, there's no language whatsoever giving the president in the Constitution that level of latitude. Anything that would violate national security by any political position. The reason that they have taken this position is because it has become the norm since Teddy Roosevelt, FDR, and so forth, as America has been subsidizing communism around the world. Because it is the path to global governance and tyranny. Tyranny over liberty. So with that, let me just kind of move forward. We have this listen line. You should be, at this point, wanting to listen to this show on a daily basis. We air every day this time. 605-562-4209 is our listen line. If you can't stream, if you're driving home in your commute, you don't have to worry, because 9 times out of 10, lately, we've been doing these pre-recorded shows. We will be moving, and it looks like, I'll just say it, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, you know, but prematurely, but there is a good possibility we may be marrying this show up twice a week with, Patriot Soapbox 24/7 live stream on YouTube. And what that means is yours truly will probably have to put up a camera or some type of imagery so that you'll be able to have a visual. But those of you who are driving along and you don't care, you know, I have a face for radio. You've heard that before, right? That being said, you'll be able to actually drive along, or as you're sitting at work, you can just call in and put the earbud in and actually listen to the information. That's why this dial-in or this listen line is a great service we're providing you. 605-562-4209. We actually have three phone lines now that you can call in to get involved, to comment, or what have you. I will be giving you those, but currently, for calling in regarding your opinion on Red State Coffee, call 425-270-5416. And so all of this information, practically almost all of this, other than the phone information, is out on the web, just because I don't, we have a lot of bad people that hit our domains. Don't want to necessarily give them the phone number, because then they'll do this denial of service and you can't call. Not too many people want to regularly listen and then listen to the entire show, because I never provide our comment line numbers at a very particular time. If you notice, sometimes the monologue goes into the second or third segment. And so sometimes it's in the second or third segment, not just the first, when we give you the comment lines, what have you. 425-270-5416. With that, we've already ended two segments. We got two more segments to get into, and I still haven't even got into the news. So I promise you, we will be moving forward. And even in our next episode, I will just blaze through without doing this long monologue. But we will be right back after these two promos with more information. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so one of the things that we've been talking, everybody talks about this, about the climate religion, climatology, whatever you want to, and we make fun of this all the time. This is really no laughing matter, even though it is fanatical, even though it is irrational that these people around the world for decades now have become more and more. Now, if you go back to the ecological movement of the late 60s, early 70s, the ecology movement is what they called it, and how Nixon created the department, or I should say the Environmental Protection Agency. Because he was a radical globalist leftist. Yeah, he was a Republican as well. They were all that way. The outliers were Coolidge, and the other outlier was Reagan. Here were two people that had a machine behind them that were not beholden to, because Coolidge just backed into the presidency. He just happened to be the vice president's selection, and it was based on territorial selection. Oh, well, we need somebody from the north to go along with Harding. Long story short, we had two outliers since the globalist movement. I'm going to get into this in the compendious summation. But the fact of the matter is that if you look at how fanatics regarding the weather has gotten, it is based on hysteria. One of my friends, and you know, I know a few people that are on this religious inclination, and their assertion, and this makes a lot of sense because the Bible talks about a lot of things changing that drives people down very erratic paths. And it seems like lately we've just had more and more erratic weather. And again, back to what my friend has asserted before, that the weather as we're moving further down this path or getting closer and closer to what they are asserting is the second coming, that the weather is going to become even more erratic to where, you know, you won't even be able to determine whether it is spring, whether it is winter, whether it is fall, summer, what have you. So don't be surprised, because if you start looking and just read through the Old Testament, like Isaiah, Ezekiel, read through the Revelations and so forth, even Matthew, the signs are there. How can anybody that has any good basis on Scripture not start recognizing what the heck's going on? The signs are there. But the fact is that the indictment about our society is this is a society that has thrown caution into the wind and just, you know, damn the torpedoes, head down, just moving forward without taking the time to do the due diligence in reading scriptures regularly, reading our founding documents regularly. And I this is where I get into evangelicalism, because I am here to tell you the only way you can understand why your church and Christianity is moving in a direction of carnalism and secularism and so forth is because people don't read the scriptures. And that's how they can convince people to move in a direction that is contrary to the doctrines in the Bible or in our scriptures. And so it's the same thing with our government and our constitutional republic. We have been, what do you want to say? We have been at fault for failing to read our founding documents, the ratification debates, and the actual framers discussing what that Constitution means. Ergo, we don't know what it means. Ergo, when somebody tells us what it means, we just have to take their word for it because they know and we don't. That's what happens if you do not understand the Constitutional Republic and what was created, because the information is there and it is very easy to understand. Maybe a lot of reading, but it's worth it, because that's how you know when your government and or your religion is being perverted by pretty evil people. And when I say evil, I'm just talking about the epitome of evil. Now, let me move into what I didn't get a chance to finish, and some of this news and marketing. But here's a question, and this is from G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. And the question I have is, before I read this, does this sound familiar or dissimilar in familiarity? G. Edward Griffin reported, the media and the Democrats heavily criticized President Trump for allegedly approving the killing of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and I don't know if I got that right or not, but I tried. Some even said that this only reinforces their murderous ideology. Russia's defense ministry says it has no reliable information about U.S. servicemen conducting an operation for yet another elimination of the former ISIS leader, referring to three previous instances where international media reported Baghdadi's death. The U.S. military gave Baghdadi a burial at sea, making it impossible to prove that he was executed. It seems that reporting the killing of hated enemies is useful to build popularity among the folks back home. Now, here's the question. What did Obama do? Didn't Obama bury Osama bin Laden at sea? Or Obama bin Laden? But the point is that there's all this rancor and criticism regarding, oh, Trump doing this, but that's exactly what Obama did. Are you kidding me? How soon we forget. I remember him standing in front of those gold and you know, the red drapes and what have you, when he came down the hall and told America how he just killed Osama bin Laden and then got rid of the evidence at sea. J. Edward Griffin also reports that New York, and this is an interesting one, New York City is secretly shipping homeless people to other states across the country with enough taxpayer money to pay rent for a full year. The receiving cities lack funding for the added expense of the new homeless people and spillover issues. The special one-time assistance program instituted in 2017 by Mayor Bill de Blasio, the communist, just like Oso the communist, has cost taxpayers about $90 million. Some of the homeless people have returned to New York City and are suing the city now. Well, they're suing the city because what? They took the money. They were forced to take the money. They took the money at gunpoint, right? Are you kidding me? No, this is this is truly a lawyer trying to exploit, just like an ambulance chaser. Hey, you really didn't want to leave. You really didn't want that money, right? More than 5,000 families, 12,000 individuals have been exported to different locations. Now, when you look at the numbers, 5,000 families, they're saying, right? Well, that's probably a male-female pairing, because if you add, you know, two, right, that's 10,000. So that's probably 10,000 couples, and some of these couples may have had a kid or two. And so that doesn't mean that these people are necessarily all, you know, up and up. Anyway, back to the information. They have been exported to different locations in the mainland United States, and some even have been sent to Hawaii or Puerto Rico. Dr. Drew Pinsky said that funding for state mental health institutions has been eviscerated under President Kennedy in 1963, and mentally ill people wound up on streets and in prisons and in nursing homes. Now, here's the thing that really kills me, and this just doesn't make sense. Why would de Blasio, the communist, who needs useful idiots to vote for him, actually send these potential communist voters, people that want the entitlement, people that are willing to take money for nothing, which is why they left in the first place? Why is it that Bill de Blasio is shipping away his electorate, or at least 10,000 of them had to have been, you know, male and female partners? That's 10,000 votes he just got rid of. Here's the question. Is there any evidence that he has found that these people that he got rid of are not voters? And he said, you know, they're worthless to me because they're not voting. They're not helping me. So let's get rid of them and put them on somebody else's rolls for being a burden. Does that make sense now? As we understand the amount of data and the level of data that is coming in, because the party is getting access to all of this corporate information, they are giving. And so where does this information come from that the party is getting? You have to start laying suspect to where the information is coming. If you understand Amazon, Amazon created a partnership with the CIA that they were going to share with them all their information, give it to the government so that the government can spy on anything you look at, anything, because, right, I mean, every time if you view it, it becomes a part of your history in Amazon. How many other companies are doing this? I can tell you that Amazon, by doing this, maintained a non-profitable status well beyond the legal point in time that a company could actually do that, if that makes sense. In other words, after, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you can't make a profit, they shut you down and say your hobby shop is done. because all you're doing is becoming a sucking chest wound on, as far as they're concerned, on their revenues. Anyway, we've got two promos to get into, and we will be right back with more marketing. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Now, let me appeal to your logic and to your reason. Let me ask you one question. And actually, maybe it's a broad topic question. Broad topic questions. I have been saying for a long time that the deep state is far deeper than anybody can admit. But let me ask you this. Can you acknowledge your ideological wiring and understanding how important individual liberty and individual sovereignty is, and why we fought an American Revolution, and why throughout the Dark Ages up until European Enlightenment, Western Enlightenment, and American Enlightenment, we came to the epitome of individual liberty and individual sovereignty within this constitutional republic that has never been ever established in the history of mankind? And so, understanding that what made America great was an ideological level of enlightenment, that liberty at all cost was the most important thing. You have to understand that liberty is not strictly free agency. If that is the case, then we would be in anarchy and not liberty. We are a nation of laws. And we understand that if you violate the law in a state of liberty, you are willing to be held accountable. This is huge. I want you to get your head wrapped around this. Why? Because I've been having conversations, and every politician that I have talked to regarding getting a politician to sign a resignation pledge, in other words, they will resign if they violate the Constitution. Just a simple pledge like that. So here's the thing. They already take an oath. What does that oath mean if they violate their oath today? Oh, well, everybody does it. You can't hold me accountable. You can't kick me out because there's no consequence of me violating my... Actually, there is. It's called Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And everybody that listens to this show has heard me rant about how we have failed to use what the good Lord has given us in keeping corruption at bay. So, remember, this is a broad topic question. I am here to ask you, do you believe that you have an ideological wiring for liberty? That you believe liberty must be sustained? That we have to do everything we can to support our Constitution and get compliance by those in the federal government, getting the federal government into full compliance and getting our states into full compliance as well? We have to start at the federal government, because many of the things that are being driven at the state is being driven by the federal government. That's why we have to start there. People say, no, we got to start at the state or the local. No, we have to start at the federal government. We have to get the states to stand up. So, like I said, I've talked to and I deal with a lot of state legislators, and almost every single one of them has recoiled to this concept of signing a pledge. And it's, I do understand the real reason why they recoil is because maybe they have a lack of confidence in their understanding of what violating the Constitution means. I can't understand why a voter would not vote for a person who says, I will support and defend the Constitution, and if I don't, I will resign. But here's the problem. We can't get people willing to actually sign pledges that are in office. Maybe they realize that some of the things they're doing, they shouldn't be doing. Well, okay, there's a way of dealing with that. We have to replace them. We have to get people that say, you know what, we need to have scruples again. We need to have morality, and we need to have honor and integrity in our public servants, period. We've been so debased that it seems like, you know, even the good leaders, these people that are, you know, supporters of Republic Review, all of a sudden get turned off by it. Do we really have to do a wholesale change out? I don't believe this. I believe that the real problem is that some of these people feel like, because they don't understand, this is what I really want to believe, that some of the people that do not understand the Constitution, they're just not that smart on it, whether they're violating it or not. Because the more they start getting exposed to, well, this is unconstitutional, this is unconstitutional, they go, I don't know if I want to do this. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But it's an indictment. And I'm here to tell you that as we start seeing signs in the news about the deep state, I'm telling you, my friends, we need you. We need you to stand up and actually challenge your state legislator. I don't care how good people think that person is. If you're willing to sign the dotted line, and as a matter of fact, the gentleman in West Virginia, forgive me, I know that you're running for office, and I know that you have reached out to me, and forgive me. I have... been overcome by so many different events, and I'm going to be calling you. I'll do that very soon. But because he wanted to come on the show and talk and get involved and so forth. And it's just that it's been a very tough year. As you know, I'm the executor of a beloved friend, and that's, you know, trying to take care of that and dealing with the family and dealing with, you know, all of those things that are wrapped up from emotions and values and so forth. So I'm a pretty busy guy right now, and I can only apologize, but I'm actually getting in a position where I'm, you know, getting freed up from some of those responsibilities, and hopefully I can close this doggone estate and be able to move on. But anyway, Here's the news article that I wanted to hopefully lead this into. G. Edward Griffin reports that former assistant U.S. attorney Sidney Powell is representing General Michael Flynn, who pleaded guilty to making false statements to the FBI. Now, I got a problem with this. Why can't you lie to the FBI? Why did they get the right to say, if you lie to the federal government, it is a crime? Show me in the Constitution where they have amended the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8, because that's where they list the crimes that the federal government has authority over. Show me where you cannot lie to the federal government. Okay, well, it's not there. So they created out of thin air this law that says you can't lie. So he pleaded guilty to making false statements to the FBI about conversations with the Russian ambassador. This admission caused him to lose his position as Trump's national security advisor. According to Powell, Flynn was unscrupulously maneuvered into a trap in which he was set up to make those statements. Now, here's the interesting thing, and here's the rub. Furthermore, none of that had any bearing on the charge against him at hand. He was operating supposedly as a Russian agent. All the while, the FBI concealed evidence that proved Flynn was innocent. Powell has called on the court to dismiss the entire prosecution for the outrageous government misconduct because they got him to lie. Not that he was guilty of being a Russian agent, but they got him to lie because they knew that he would cover up over something instead of actually being able to prove him as a Russian agent. So if you, my fellow patriots, and those who are champions for liberty and champions for the Constitution, if you are just beginning to start to recognize just how deep the deep state goes, this is not, you know how you hear the right, oh, well, that's only a couple of bad apples. I'm here to tell you that it goes far deeper than just a few bad players. This is an ideological war that we are in. There are people that will do anything and everything, and if you don't believe me, just start looking at the fanatics for the global, whether it be weather, whether it be Antifa, whether it be the union, collectivism, it is all the same crap. We want your liberties. You don't deserve with Second Amendment. Oh, by the way, as an aside, I will be publishing an article rather soon regarding the standing army. And you've heard me talk about this before, but I want to publish this article so you can share it with all of your friends to show them the evidence of how we are living under a federal standing army, contrary to the constitutional design that the framers had given us. And by the way, that standing army is filled and steeped with ideologues who believe that they have the power to subjugate us. This is the deep state and the magnitude of the deep state. So my appeal to you as we get ready to sign off and carry this into the next episode, what is it going to take? What is it that is going to actually be the catalyst? What event, what words, what combination of words do I need to express to get you to take a stand and commit yourself for liberty? I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort.
We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.